Hello and welcome back to the Authentic Ibiza Tribe here with Sadie Mills. I am so happy, as always, that you're here listening in again. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for all those that have rated and reviewed on Apple Podcasts. I am getting quite a few beautiful comments and lovely feedback from all of you, which this for me is just my little guilty pleasure. I say it's for you, but really it's a little bit for me too. So thank you. Today, this is a really good one for anyone out there that is into the health and fitness and health and wellness world, because this lady is definitely a geek of all said things. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce you now to the wonderful, beautiful Sarah Law.
Hello, thank you for having me. And I love the fact I'm a geek, that you've introduced me as a geek, because it's very true.
You know, as I get older, I realise I'm a geek too.
Yeah.
And I love it. I love learning. I love exploring new things. You know, every day's a school day, no?
Totally. And I think the more you learn, the more you want to learn, because it just opens your eyes to what there is to learn. And especially when it comes to the body. Yeah. I mean, it's never ending. You could be learning all day, every day, and still not know everything.
So before we go into all of that, I'm super excited to learn more about you. And I know that I've followed you from afar on your Instagram, and you know, we've done a few little workshops and things together because we're quite like-minded, I think.
Yeah.
So tell us, Sarah, who are you?
So I am a qualified naturopathic nutritionist. I'm also a consultant with a skincare and wellness brand, and have been for 15 years now. But interestingly, like, I didn't start out as those things. I was actually a professional performer for most of my adult life, if you can call it that, working in musical theatre.
So,
yeah, did lots of really fun, crazy jobs like Starlight Express, We Will Rock You, and had the time of my life.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Wow, then, there's a star of stage and screen.
I know. Back in the days when I was young and I could kick my legs high enough. yeah, and then I just went on a complete kind of 360. I thought at the time, as a performer, I thought I was healthy, but looking back, I was far from healthy. Like, you know, I'd be eating all the wrong foods. Like, I was the queen of low fat everything. I thought that was good for me at the time.
So did everybody.
Oh, yeah, it was the craze back then, wasn't it? I was obsessed with just being skinny all the time, and especially to fit into costumes. And then I'd go out at the weekends after a show and get blind drunk, get in at 9 in the morning, and then repeat the cycle over and over. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I had the best time ever, but it wasn't really the healthiest lifestyle in the world.
I think as, I mean, I'm saying now, you're not old now, looking at you, you're stunning, but back then, I imagine that was in your 20s now.
Yeah.
So
what
did we all do in our 20s? We all went out, worked hard, drank hard, partied hard, ate crap, you know, thinking you know everything. Like you said, you thought you were healthy.
Yeah.
And probably by some standards, you were.
Yeah, yeah. In some respects, I mean, I was obviously always exercising, and I didn't ever eat like complete junk food. But I mean, I would live off like rice cakes and cereal and all the carbs, basically, and not much else. No protein, no fat. and that was my diet.
Well, I think everything's evolved. Nutrition advice,
totally.
Certainly. And we'll get into that in a minute. So bringing it back to, obviously, the Authentic Ibiza Tribe. And welcome. You are now part of the Authentic Ibiza Tribe.
I'm so glad I am.
A much coveted spot.
Yes.
Ibiza, when did you first come here?
So my first trip to Ibiza, well, actually, there was one before I thought my first one was, if I think right back. So my ex-boyfriend, many, many moons ago.
My ex-boyfriend.
I know, yeah, who I was with for 10 years. We came on holiday here, but it was before I really even knew what Ibiza was. It was just, you know, a package holiday where you book wherever. So I just didn't really know what Ibiza was. So I don't really count that as my first trip, because it wasn't like an experience of Ibiza.
Nothing sunk into your heart
that time.
It was just sunshine.
Yeah. But exactly.
Probably drinking too much.
Yeah, yeah, you know. Exactly. And beaches. And then, so the real kind of first trip here was with my now husband, Ben. He'd been coming here for years, since he was like 18, on lads' holidays, and it had a real place in his heart. So when we first got together, I was actually living in Germany because I was performing over there. And we'd been together probably about 3 or 4 months. And we booked a holiday to come to Ibiza with his best friend and one of my best friends. And that was it. As soon as I came here, I just had the best time ever. And it just opened my heart to this beautiful island and what it was. Back in those days, you know, we stayed over in Playa de Embosa. It was kind of like all the party stuff. And to be fair, like, even though I loved, you know, a good drink and things, I wasn't a massive clubber, but he was. So he dragged me, basically. We had a deal where it'd be every other night we'd go to a club. And I'd be like, oh, God, do I have to go to another club? But there were ones that I did obviously enjoy. But yeah, I just was like, I can't do every night, because I will be ruined by the end of this holiday. And I've got to go back to work as a performer and get on a stage, and I can't really.
Yeah, and that's a physically taxing job.
Yeah, it was full on, especially in Starlight Express, because I was on roller skates every night. So I was like, I can't go back.
Are you an amazing
wrecked.
Roller skater still now?
I think so. If I brought my skates over, actually. I got them shipped over recently, so I need to get them out and put them on and just check that I can still do it. But it's a bit like riding a bike. Once you're back on them, you're like, oh yeah, I remember this. So yeah, that's where the real love began. And then we just came on holiday every single year. Ben's parents also used to come here on holiday, but they used to come over to Santa Eulalia. And I remember one trip we were staying in Playa del Bosa. They were staying in Santa Eulalia, and we got the boat over, and the weather was terrible. Don't know why, because that doesn't happen in Ibiza, but that week it did. And we got the boat over, and we came to Santa Eulalia, and they were staying at La Cala. I don't know if you know La Cala. It's like a proper old people's... You wouldn't know it because it's terrible. Like an old people's hotel. And they were staying there, and that was kind of our first experience of Santa Eulalia, and we were just like, oh, God, no, we would never stay here. And lo and behold, it's where we live now, and I love it. I wouldn't want to live anywhere else on the island.
It's funny you say that, because when I first moved here, when Steve and I first moved here back in 2004, and, I mean, I didn't even know Santa Eulalia when I first came here in 1999. God, I'm really showing my age now. But when we first moved here, we would have thought it was the old person's resort too.
Yeah.
And now most of the community that we know and love all live this end of the island.
It.
Because I think it's full all year round community. Yeah. All the shops stay open. You know, if you go to Playa del Bosa, for sure, everything in the winter is closed. It's like a ghost town, isn't it?
And in fact, my favourite time is the winter, because there's all these cool little festivals that happen in Santa Eulalia, and you've got the community, and I think things have evolved so much, you know, with the city. And we've grown up with it. Exactly. We're like a little bit older now. But yeah, that was our first experience. And then, yeah, holiday, just kept coming back.
And then when did you say, OK, let's make the move and let's actually make a life for ourselves?
So we actually got married here. That was when we were still living in the UK. So we got married at Amanti.
Oh, lovely. I love it there.
It's just the best time ever. And we actually named it Wedding of the Century. So we had a hashtag of TWOTC. Like, we had wristbands, we had flip-flops.
Wow.
So we were like, we've got a lot
so
to live up
to. So pulled out all the stops then.
Yeah. Yeah, we had about 100 people come over. And all of our friends actually still talk about it. And they were like, it's the best wedding we've ever been to. And I'm like, phew. Because, I mean, to name it that, we had to live up to the standards. But yeah, so we got married here. And as soon as we got married here, I just knew. I absolutely knew. I think it's just because I had such an incredible experience when we came here for the wedding. And all our friends were here for a week. So it was like, you know, it wasn't just like one day. It was like a whole experience.
A wedding
with them.
Week.
Yeah, exactly. And I just knew. I was just like, I know I need to live there. So we went back to the UK and we were just like looking at different places, looking online. And that was it, really. I think we came over for another holiday in the September. We got married in the June and we came over for a holiday in the September. And we were staying in an Airbnb. And I truly believe that it was all meant to be as well, because the Airbnb that we stayed in was in an apartment block. We were staying at Seoul Beach House in Santa Eulalia, and there's an apartment block with like these blue balconies. And I was always like, that apartment block looks really nice. I'd like to live there. And then when we booked the Airbnb, we didn't realise, but it was in that apartment block.
Wow.
I was like, oh my goodness. And then I started going to a yoga studio, and the owner of the yoga studio was like, you're in an apartment next door to me. And I was like, oh, how random. And then when I was there one day, I was like, we're thinking of maybe moving over here. If you know anyone that, you know, could help us out. And she was like, actually, the other apartment block, the other side of me, is up for rent. And it's really lovely. So she put me in touch with the agent and literally went to look at it that day. And we were like, yep, done. Sold.
Wow.
Straight in.
That, you know, people talk about the energy of Ibiza and how special it has. And this is why we do this podcast.
Yeah.
Because everybody has an experience of that magic happening for them. You know, some people call it the universe. Some people think this is the magnetic pull of the island, Tanit doing her business or whatever. But that's just, the proof is in the pudding.
Totally. Totally.
Know?
It was like, I just knew we were meant to be here. And it was like nothing was an effort. It all just fell into place. And we still had a place in the UK. So we were renting in the UK, we were renting here, and we were mainly here, and I'd like go back to the UK for like 3 days every, you know, 3 months or something. It was ridiculous having a house there, but it was just for convenience because a lot of our stuff was still there. But it was just like everything flowed, and it wasn't an effort to move here at all. And it's quite funny when I think about it, because we really didn't have a clue. Like, we didn't plan anything. I didn't know anything legal about moving here. We literally just were like, everything just flowed with us moving here. It wasn't an effort. It wasn't hard. We didn't, you know, think about, you know, any of the legal side of things with having like residency or any of that. And so when we first moved over here, we flew over, and it was because like we just got the apartment, so we just flew over for a few days to check it out, move some stuff in, and then the next time we came back over, we drove over, and it was hilarious. I mean, we had a barbell between us going, we had about six, I can't even remember how many kilos of weights in the back, because that was the priority, was the gym gear.
Sure.
Basically. And we drove for 3 days. I didn't. I just slept probably for most of it. And my husband drove. We thought it was going to be really good fun. And it was just very, very boring.
Everybody thinks that. Yeah. Can I just tell you, you're not alone.
Good. I'm
glad. We thought the same thing when we did. We bought a cheap little tent from some camping shop.
Yeah.
And stopped off along the way. Not at camping places, just in a field.
Anywhere.
And it was the most terrifying, horrifying thing ever. But we got here.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Same with
the
car packed full of all your things, like a Tetris style, trying to fit as much
That's
as you
can. That's it. And every
time
you go over a bump, you're like, oh God, everything's scraping on the floor.
Well, with that many weights in your car, I'm
not
surprised.
It was ridiculous. But yeah, then when we got here, there was a woman who I'd made friends with on Instagram. So we went for a coffee, and then she was like, oh, have you got your green card? And I was like, a what?
Yeah.
She was like, you do know you need like an NIE green card. I was like, oh, okay, maybe I need to think about these things. So that's when we kind of were like, okay, maybe we'll start actually looking at how you do this properly.
And did you go through like a Hesteria, which is for those people that don't live here and know, it's kind of like a bit of a lawyer, sort of an accountant, sort of advisory board.
Yeah, so actually when we first lived here, we only got our NIE number so we could get our bank account and electric bills and all that. And then we did nothing else other than that, because obviously back then you didn't really need to have a residency to live here.
Pre-Brexit,
pre-wonderful Brexit, everything was a lot simpler.
We're not going to go down that road in this conversation.
No, might have steam coming out of my ears.
Yep.
And then we had the car over here, which had English plates on for 2 years, which obviously shouldn't have done either, but that was fine back then. But then we actually moved back to the UK. So we stayed here for 2 years. My husband's dad had a bit of ill health, and so did his mum. And he has an online supplement business. And at the time, it was just in a place where he felt like he needed to be in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
So much to my like dismay, we moved back to the UK.
And left the apartment and gave it up and everything.
Yeah, gave up the apartment and moved back. And I just remember those few days before leaving, I was so sad. I would walk back from yoga and I'd just be in the sunshine, like crying on the way home.
Fun.
Like, I don't want to go. And when we first moved back, it was okay. It was a novelty. You know, we'd bought a house, we were renovating it. And to be honest, I don't think we really realised what we'd done, because we were travelling so much. So we were always going somewhere every single month. So it wasn't like, you know, I'd really realised that I wasn't in the sun and I was in the grey and it was the UK. And then we obviously had lockdown. When that hit, I was like, oh, no, this is not the vibe. This is not where I want to be. Absolutely not. And we'd every day just do a loop round the house, round the estate where we lived, and it was like everyone doing the same thing at the same time in their windows, and I was just like, I cannot do this. Like,
Could you get out?
Well, so we came over here for 6 weeks, so there was a little window when I think you were allowed to fly, but there were like certain rules in place. So it was after the lockdown happened, but it was like before the UK went back into lockdown yet again for the 50,000th time. So there was a little window, and the upstairs of our house was being renovated. So we were like, brilliant, this is a really good excuse for us to just leave. So we came over here for what was supposed to be, I think, 4 weeks. And then the house wasn't quite finished. Like, when we were here, we were like, oh, I really want to stay for longer.
Please, universe.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't finish the house.
Well, this is it. And then, so Ben's brother was actually doing a lot of the work on the house. And he was like, oh, I think it's going to take longer. And we were like, oh, damn. So we might have to stay a bit longer. And he was like, well, if you could. And I was like, ah, okay, if we must. So we stayed on an extra 2 weeks. And again, we were like, oh, let's just have a little look and see what's on Idealista and let's see what's around. Started looking at places, and there was one place that came on, and we were like, oh my God, it was really cheap, and it was like beautiful Bali style little place. And I was like, let's just go and have a look. And Ben was like, well, we're not moving. And I was like, no, we'll just go and have a little look. But anyway, it turned out that it was just a winter rental. So we were like, well, there's no point. But then that kind of got the cogs whirring again. So then we kept looking, and then, yeah, we started actually going and viewing places, and there was one that we viewed and we were just like, damn it. So we were like, yeah, let's do it. And we just moved again.
Yeah.
We still had the house in the UK that we'd just literally renovated.
And you'd bought that though. So have you rented that out now?
We've sold it now.
You sold it.
Yeah, we sold it.
So you're fully here now then?
Fully here.
Still, and that's it. No going back.
No going back unless I get kicked out, because I still haven't got residency yet.
Right.
So we applied for our
process.
Oh, it's such a process. We applied for our residency. And we applied pre-Brexit, so it should have really been okay because we'd given them everything before Brexit kicked in. But it was in application for a year, then it got denied. So it's now in appeal. There's been an appeal since last June, so come on, universe, work your magic.
Yes, you've done it so far. Come on, Tanit, or whoever, the magnetic rock of Esvedra.
You know we're meant to be here, so just give it to us now.
Yeah,
the great thing is there's so many different options now with, like, the digital nomad visa and all these other ones. So I just think if that's not meant to be, there's always another way. We'll find a way.
Yeah. Okay, so you've said goodbye, you've sold the house in the UK.
Sold the house.
And what are you doing to make yourself live here? You know, what keeps you afloat? Tell us.
Yeah, so I do a lot of, both of us work online. So my husband has a supplements business that is all online. He sells mainly in the UK, but he also sells in a few different countries. He's now selling back in Europe again, finally, after Brexit. It took a lot of kind of figuring out routes to be able to do so. It's been fun times. And then all of my work is online. So I work as a nutritionist online, but then I work with a skincare and nutrition company as well. So I sell the products online and then, can retail them in any of the countries that the company trades in. Unfortunately, not Spain yet, but everywhere else. So by doing those two things, it allows me to be able to have the freedom to live here and, live how I choose to live, which is a wonderful feeling.
And as with everybody, all the guests, I will put all of you can send me all your details of anything that you've got to offer.
Yeah.
I know that you run some free workshops, gut health things.
Yeah, and lots of free workshops, particularly for women. I love working with women because obviously I am one. and I know the struggles that they go through with hormones and, oh my goodness, especially when we start to get into our 40s and perimenopause and all that fun
I'm there
stuff.
I'm there
tell
that's
me
a,
about it
that's a whole other conversation
it's a whole other
sure.
thing yeah
maybe
yeah.
we'll have to have you back on and we'll do one just about perimenopause
Absolutely.
The menopause etc etc
so
gut health is definitely something that you're really interested in though
gut health and menopause are the two main things and I would say gut health, menopause and skin health are the three things that I really focus on the most
And I think at the moment I've noticed with a lot of things on Instagram and in the media and everything, gut health is really a focus at the moment, isn't it? We mentioned on it before that so much health and nutrition advice is changing as the years go on. Even with exercise, you know, you don't need to do 50 minutes cardio now. Yeah. You just need to do this short little 16-minute exercise. Do they really work? Is that true? I mean, you're going to be way more advanced with all the up-to-date information than me.
So depending on what the outcome is and what the goal is, and again, it's so individual because for some people, yes, absolutely, and for others, it could be the worst thing they do. So depending on where your nervous system is at, what your gut health is like, all of those things, where your hormones are at, play a really big role in what kinds of exercise are actually the right things for you to be doing. But universally, for everyone, I'd always say strength training is always going to be the best thing you can do, always.
And so with your programs and everything that you run, say I would come to you, and I'm very tempted to do this because I'm always a yo-yo dieter. Mm-hmm. Well, not dieter, because we don't like to say that word anymore, do we? But, you know, I'm one of the girls that will say, right, I'm going to do the insanity program.
Yeah.
And then I'll finish it and then I'll be like, I know, is it still around?
Who knows? But that was a staple in my life for many years.
I'm too old for that now.
Me too. Oh, dear Lord.
Even the T25, which is the reduced version, all the jumps and my knees are shot. And, you know, I'm nearer to 50 than I am 40 now. So I've got to give all that up. But I love a challenge and I love a set program. So is that something that you design for people?
I don't do fitness programs as such.
Right.
So I run a nutrition program called the Thrive Nutrition and Wellbeing Program. And that's mainly focused on really helping people understand how their body works and make the significant changes to make it a lifestyle so they don't keep going back to square one.
Sure.
So with that, what we do is we basically teach them how to create balance. You know, what should a meal look like? Because again, still so many people just don't know what should be on their plate and in what portion sizes. And most women I speak to just don't eat anywhere near enough protein.
Yeah.
So we really teach them about like balance and how to create that. What are the kinds of foods you should be eating? So what are the best protein sources? What are the best fats? What are the best carbs? And help them create that balance, balance their blood sugar properly. And then we go through gut health. We go through lightening their toxic load. And then we go through, right, how are you going to make this your life? How are we going to shift this so you're not going back to the same place every time?
Because that's the thing, like I just said, you know, I do one program and then the bad habits will seep back in again, or you know, you see the results that you feel like you're getting towards, and then I seem to fall just at the last minute and not make it last.
Yeah, and that's the key.
It is really the key. But so how do you identify them with each person? Because I'm really interested in this. You know, you mentioned like low blood sugar your nervous system? How do you know by, do you have a questionnaire? I mean, say I came to you and I said, right, Sarah, I need sorting out, you know.
Oh, yeah. I would ask you 50,000 questions.
I want to lose 10 kilos and, you know, tone up everywhere. And obviously, although you don't specify different programs for fitness, you're very fit yourself, I can see.
Yeah.
Which everyone could see. You. Beautiful tan as well going on at the minute. You would obviously say, look, this would help, that would help, because you're very experienced in it yourself, aren't you? So although that's not the focus, the nutrition and the gut health and everything. So how do you identify that then? Through just questions?
Lots of questions, yeah, to begin with. So when I have like an individual client or even someone on my programs, I ask them a lot of things because I want to know like where the missing link is. And for most people, to be honest, it is gut health. Like, I always go back to that as a baseline because it affects everything. It affects hormones, it affects the nervous system, it affects brain health, it affects everything. So there's always going to be a component of gut health in anybody's program. It's just vital for everything. But I know that by speaking to certain people and like asking them certain questions, I can figure out, you know, what their lifestyle is and what's causing them to be off kilter. And what maybe is causing them to go back to square one? Is it that their nervous system is in a really funky place and they need to work on like calming that down and helping with the stress response? Or is it that their hormones are on a roller coaster and then that is causing them to, you know, feel sleepy or have headaches or have these...
Eat consistently.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, have these blood sugar issues that are causing them to crash and then crave all the crap. So it's just through good quality questions, really. But then with certain people, if we kind of get to a point where I'm like, okay, there's something more here. Testing is always a great option.
So blood with blood tests.
Blood, GI tests where you can, it's disgusting, but you test your poo basically. Yeah. So
we talk about poo on this podcast.
Brilliant.
It's fine.
Talk about it a lot. but yeah, you basically have to poo into a little tray and then collect it and send it off to a lab and they'll test it all for you. So things like that. I also do testing with hormones. And there's an amazing test called an organic acid test, which is just a urine test, but it shows, it's basically like 75 tests in one. So it can show you different markers in your gut bacteria. It can show you neurotransmitters in your brain and whether you're not producing certain neurotransmitters, whether you're detoxing properly. It's incredible.
Sounds incredible.
Yeah, I love it. Anything to do with testing, I love. I mean, I've had every single test going because I was like, right, I want to know what's going on.
I'm a tester. I'm up for that. if it's there, I'll do it.
Yeah, and the thing is, I always say to people, you know, we take our cars for an MOT every single year, but we don't do it to our own bodies and we may feel okay, but we have no idea what's really going on inside until you look at markers. You have no idea. So you might be like, I'm fine, but you're not, because you don't know unless you look under the bonnet, essentially.
Okay, great. So say I was coming to you, like I just said now, and I wanted you to sort me out. How does the process work then? So you ask a lot of questions.
Yes, lots of questions. And then I figure out what route I think would be best for that person. So for some people, they just go onto my kind of group program. Because it depends what their starting point is. So for a lot of people, the group program actually is kind of like, is covering most of the bases that most people need to just get into a good place. For some people who have got like real things going on, like a lot of kind of stuff that needs unwinding essentially, then it's more of a like one-to-one situation. Or some people might do the group program and then go on to one-to-one coaching afterwards, because we've got to a certain point, they're like, okay, you know, this is a lot better, but I've still got these weird things going on.
And probably they're feeling a lot better by that point as well, aren't they? And they're like, I don't want to let go of this.
Well, exactly. I think that's the thing. When people start to feel better, they're like, oh my goodness, I didn't know that I felt so bad until I started to feel good. And then you're like, I know, there's so much more that can be done. But yeah, so then people can come on a one-to-one kind of program. So they can either just have a one-off consultation where we'd sit down for a good old hour, they'd fill in lots of forms again. I'd look through everything and then we'd have a really good chat over that hour of me just digging and finding out more about their lifestyle, more about their diet, more about, you know, really what's going on in their body and helping them kind of see where the gaps are. And then I put together a whole protocol for them. And that would include...
So they have to do like a food diary and things like that? Yeah,
absolutely. 3 days, tell me everything, honestly.
Oh, 3 days is okay.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not so bad because it comes a bit of a chore sometimes, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I've tried the Fitness Pal thing before and just entering it all in, it's like, oh...
Yeah, I know. It can be
too
a bit
much
like,
time.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, I got into such a habit. It's just so ingrained in me now because I'm a fitness competitor as well. And so it's just part of the process of like knowing exactly what you eat, like how many macros and all of that.
And it's like anything you learn, isn't it? You know, once you've done it a few times and you know how to food prep. And like you said before, it's the education about what is good, what's healthy fat, how much protein to have.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't just feel like you have to cut all carbs out because then you're running on empty.
Well, this is it. And I think so many women in particular, especially when they get to menopausal age, suddenly go, oh my God, I need to do keto. I need to cut out all carbs. And I'm like, no. For some women, that can be the worst thing that they can do because their adrenal glands go mental, and that's going to make your perimenopause symptoms 10 times worse. It's just about knowing how to balance things properly. And I'm also a really big believer in helping people create lifestyle balance. So even though I like to track because that's what I've done for so many years being a fitness competitor, I don't say to my clients, this is this is what you need to do. If you want to do it for a few days to see what you're doing, because it helps people just get that kind of like aha moment of, oh, okay, so I'm really not eating enough protein, or I'm really not eating enough food, which for most women is actually what I see more than the opposite. You know, I so many women come to me and I look at their food diet and I'm like, you're really not eating enough food. And they're like, oh, no, I'm not. And I'm like, track it then. And you tell me, and then it normally ends up being like 1,200 calories. And I'm like, that's a 4-year-old needs that.
Wow.
Like, you're a grown woman, you know? So,
and no wonder they're tired.
This is it.
And bloated when they eat and things like that.
Because
the body
working.
Does strange things, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think people think that, you know, your metabolism massively slows down as you age, and it actually doesn't. Like, it doesn't actually slow down until you're in your 60s.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Wow, I was one of those people that thought it did.
Yeah, doesn't at all. And even in your 60s, it's only like by 1% or something ridiculous. So it's not anything dramatic. The thing that shifts is that our hormones dictate what our body does with the food.
Right.
So our hormones are dictating, you know, what the body does with the calories it's eating. So once you can get the hormones in a good place and you can help the body in the right ways, you actually don't need to eat less. You just need to eat the right kinds of things in the right way.
And at the right time, does that matter?
It can do, depending on people. So I know there's a massive craze now for intermittent fasting.
I was going to mention that, yeah.
Everyone's on the intermittent fasting bandwagon. And there's definitely a time and a place for it. However, most of the studies on intermittent fasting have been done on men. Women have not
really.
Yep, women have not been included in half of the studies because women are far too complex. You know, we're complex creatures, and women's hormones are a lot more sensitive to changes, especially during perimenopause. That's not to say that it's never going to be right for women. For some women, they get on brilliantly with it, and it's such a great tool for them. It can be good for insulin sensitivity, which going through menopause can be an issue for a lot of women. But the problem is, when you're going through menopause, your body is already going through a lot of changes, and it's quite stressful for the body when the hormones are all over the place.
Mm.
So add another stressor on top, and it's just like, for some people, it can be far too much. So I always say to women, when they're going through perimenopause, like 12 to 14 hours should be sufficient. Once you're through the menopause, then maybe like 14 to 16 can be a bit better for some women. But again, it's so dependent on the woman. So for me, like, it just, my body does not like it.
Yeah, well, I've tried it before as well, and I didn't feel like it helped me to lose weight or any of it. But my husband, it did.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's really interesting.
Yeah.
And this is why following a program or having a coach or, you know, nutrition guru at your beck and call like you is amazing, because you then get the education you need.
This is it. Specific for you.
Yeah, and know that it's tailor-made.
Yeah.
And even if you did the group program, they're not large groups, I wouldn't imagine,
no,
are they?
No, and also, even with the group program, I still speak to them individually. So if there's things I want to tweak with that individual person, I will. And it's very much that we don't do anything, you know, extreme. So I'm not going to be like, right, you all need to do intermittent fasting, because I know that for some people...
It's not going to suit everybody.
No, exactly. It might be great for one person, but that doesn't mean it's going to be great for the next client. So it's really about, you know, assessing each person and going, okay, this could be good for you. Let's try it for a few days and see. But it's probably not for most women.
So the benefits are there, obviously, to join the group program, because you've got the community. I suppose everyone supports each other.
Absolutely.
Probably is a little bit less expensive.
Yeah,
not saying it is expensive, because I don't know your costs.
No, it's a lot cheaper. And that's why I love it as well, because it gives me the opportunity to help more people, and they get all supplements and everything included. So it's like a package where they then, you know, because if someone has an individual consultation with me, they pay for the consultation. And then I'm like, right, well, you need to go and get these supplements. If we want to do this testing, then it can be expensive.
Yeah.
And I believe it's a worthy expense, because when you haven't got health, you have nothing. Having had long COVID for 2 years, I can vouch for that massively. But it's still an expense for some people that right now maybe they can't afford. So having something that's more accessible, it gives people that gateway into starting the process.
Yeah. And once they start to feel the benefits, then that's something they can work towards to go private with you.
Yeah, exactly. And my goal really is I want to educate them. So within the group program, they get cheat sheets, they get downloadables, they get everything. Because I'm like, I want you to have this knowledge and it's lifetime access to all the knowledge. It's not like, you know, you do it for 30 days and then I'm going to take it all away. It's like you keep it. You can stay in the groups. We do lives in there. Myself and a doctor do live Q&As in there every 2 weeks as well. So if people have got questions, they can submit them and then we'll go live and answer them all, because I just want to give people the knowledge to know how to look after their own body.
It's evident to see how passionate you are about helping people.
I'm
definitely going to be checking it out. And obviously everything will be listed at the end on the show notes. So you mentioned a consultation and your group program. Do you do certain dates for the group program, or is it that
people can join
as and when?
Yeah, people can join whenever, because it just means that it makes it simple.
It's ever evolving.
Yeah, exactly. And then with one-to-one consultations, I also have like a four-month package that people can book. So the reality is, you know, for most people, they're going to need more than one consultation, because you have a plan, you need to follow it for, you know, 5 or so weeks. Then we have a follow-up. Then we need to see and tweak things. And then we might need to do testing. So I have a four-month program that people can do, because it means it's all done.
And then if they haven't hit their target, then they can just extend, I suppose, on and on. Wow, you've lit a fire in me, Sarah. You're going to be getting an email from me for sure. So bring it back to Ibiza then, and obviously it's evident, like I said, that you adore what you do.
Yes.
And you are the product of it. I mean, you look gorgeous. You are gorgeous. Your skin is glowing.
Thank you.
So what do you love to do here while you're in Ibiza, apart from sunbathe?
Sunbathe and geek out.
Sunbathe and geek out. That's two top things.
Oh, my goodness. Do you know what I love about Ibiza is the community. It's so interesting, because I think that was one of the things when I first moved here. I was like, is there going to be people that I can hang out with that are like-minded? And there is. Like, it's just such a wonderful place to meet people who all have a story, but all are so open and on the same page. So for me, it's like being around people. So I love to do things where I can be with people. So I'm part of a choir, which I love. I go to dance classes. I love to go for dinner. I mean, who doesn't?
And why not? Because there's so many gorgeous restaurants.
Yeah, exactly. And for me, it's just the simple things like sunset and sunrise. You just can't beat it. Like, and you just don't get that in the UK, not like here. So just going for a sunset for me is just like, I don't need anything else.
Yeah, nice. And hiking, I suppose. You love to hike.
Yeah, I love hiking. Yeah. A good old hike, finished with a dip in the sea.
Oh, yeah. Still too cold for me at the
minute. We were doing it in the winter where we were like hiking and then doing a dip.
Hubby's been doing it through the winter. He's been getting up and going to Kalanova and going in for sunrise and doing the Wim Hof breathing and all of that meditation
stuff.
Yeah. Still too cold for me.
Yeah,
not for me.
It is a little bit nippy still. I do like it like a bath, I have to say.
So where is your favourite restaurant? Can you pinpoint one?
Oh, my goodness. Well, Amanti has a big place in my heart, obviously, because I got married there and I've got so many fond memories of...
And it's stunning to go for dinner there overnight.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And just everything about, like, the run-up to the wedding. Obviously, we went there before to check things out and have dinner. My parents came over, and that's before we'd ever been there. We booked it without ever having seen it.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
wow.
I'd only seen it online, and I was just like, wow, this looks cool. I think we should do it. And I think I'm someone who just goes with my instincts quite a lot, so we were like, yep, let's do it. So I remember just like the first dinner we went there with my parents, and it was beautiful, and it's just a magical place.
I've been to a couple of weddings there as a guest, actually.
Yeah.
Which is really nice. I went to a half English, half Spanish. So she was Spanish, he was English. We were all shaking the napkins around our head, which is a real Spanish thing.
Yeah.
Such a gorgeous spot.
Yeah.
And actually, years ago, I actually organised a blessing for some friends of mine that had been married in the UK, but they had Ibiza in their heart.
Yeah.
Mark and Danny, if you're listening. That must have been 2006. And I was kind of doing weddings at the time, organising, because we got married here too in 2005. And off the back of that, somebody then went, oh, can you help my friend? They want just what you had. And it was very relaxed at Calagrassi and Etta. We got married. Beautiful.
Amazing.
And I ended up doing that and then just, you know, each year helping a few more people. So my friend said, well, can you help us do a little blessing? So we did it at Amanti.
Aww.
And it's so lovely there.
It is beautiful.
Really filled with nature. And right then, you're so secluded.
Yeah. And
if you haven't been, listeners, get yourself to Amanti.
You have to. It's just like when you walk in and you just see the blue of the sea. It's just unbelievable.
And the rocks, the cliffs all around you. It is really stunning.
And the other one, which is kind of very simple, but Caspages.
Yeah.
Oh, Like, if you love meat, then
I was going to say protein. You definitely get your protein in there.
So simple. The menu never changes. You pay with cash and nothing else, but I just love it. It's just,
there are places still left, you know, like that in Ibiza.
Exactly.
Not many.
No, but they're
I think probably
gems.
The northeast of the island has more than probably the south because of the sunsets.
Yeah.
You know, the southwest coast, a lot of them have unfortunately been sold out to bigger companies and
you
know, conglomerates that are coming along with loads of cash to throw at them, and then the
find
prices
the little gems
go up, you know, they raise the prices, and it's the same thing that's happening with the Formentera beach bars, which is just horrifying.
Yeah,
I'm going to try and get Yordis, who's a big champion for Formentera, on she does the guide Maya Bifa and Formentera,
brilliant
old friend of mine, not name dropping though. Okay, so one piece of advice you would give to anyone coming to move here or to come on holiday.
Oh, my
this
goodness.
This is one I ask everybody. Is there something specific that you can think of?
If you're looking to move here, get in the WhatsApp groups because they're super helpful. There's a couple of WhatsApp groups that have just been really, really helpful for knowing things that I wouldn't have known, and also for connecting with people. Mm. And I do really think, like I said, going back to the community thing, like if you're moving here, go and search for the community because it's there and you can find incredible people. And the wonderful thing is you'll meet someone who then has a great group of friends, and then they'll introduce you to another group of friends, and before you know it, like, you just know so many different people. So just get involved with the community for sure, because it's just a wonderful, such soul filled community, I think.
Yeah, everyone helps each other out, don't they?
Exactly. Here? And that was one of the things for me when we first moved here. Like, when we were in the UK, we moved back to kind of being where we grew up and near our parents, which was lovely, you know, being near our parents, but we didn't really have a friendship circle at all. And so when we moved here, we were like, really want to have a lovely friendship circle. And I feel like we've really got that now. And that just comes from, you know, wanting it and then going to things to meet people.
Yeah, you've got to put yourself out there for sure. It's
totally.
Never going to land in your lap.
No.
Like moving anywhere in the world, you know. Ibiza is very gregarious and the people are all a bit crazy and open-minded.
Yeah.
And, you know, anything goes here, doesn't it?
Totally.
And that's why we all love it so much.
Yeah.
You can be who you want to be without any prejudice from anyone.
Exactly.
But you do have to go out and find it.
Yeah, 100%.
So, parting shot then, is there anything else you want to say to our listeners?
Oh my goodness, move to Ibiza.
Yeah.
Literally, my goal is to just get everyone I really like to move to Ibiza.
Yeah.
Every friend
have
that comes
any
over.
Of your wedding guests, because of course they're probably, like when we got married, there was people that only knew Ibiza from what they saw on the TV, all the bad press.
That's it.
Has anybody followed you? Because quite a few of mine have.
Have they? I love that. We've not had people from the wedding that have moved over yet, but a lot of friends have. Every guest that kind of comes goes, maybe I could live here. And I'm like, yes, you could.
You make them understand how possible it is.
That's
you know, probably a little bit more difficult post-Brexit now.
Just a little, few things to work around.
Well, I wish you and Ben, your husband, all the luck for your residency.
Thank you.
I'm sure it's going to come through. And I know there's been a massive backlog with those, but people are now getting the green light to be here. And for anyone listening that wants to get in touch with Sarah regarding her amazing nutrition and skincare and gut health information, then it'll all be on the end of the show notes. And I really don't want to end this conversation. I feel like there could be so much more I could ask you, but we will keep it short for this one. Well, not short, it's normal time, but... Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day, all of you, and I will speak to you next week. Ciao.
Goodbye.